The title for my sermonette today is Relationship with God. Now, my last sermon that I gave, I mentioned at the end that what God truly wants with each of us is a relationship. And then in his sermon in the afternoon, on the first day of Unleavened Bread, Mr. Harris also mentioned that this is what God wants. So I thought we would go quickly over this topic of a relationship with God today. But first, what scares you more than anything else? You know, losing a job is high up there for me. I hate having to look for a job. It's a terrible, awful thing. Running out of money, that's something else that kind of scares me a little bit. How others think about me. You know, those are just a few fears, to name a few, that I have. But, of course, those have to become overcome. But fears can be catastrophic. You know, fears can cause us to do irrational things. If we are fearful of an outcome, then we could be led to sin, to say something wrong, to act out in a certain way. Let's turn over to Revelation 21, verse 7 and 8. Revelation 21, verse 7, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly," those who are fearful, I just want to pick up on that word here, "shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So Christ here tells us that fear is something that we have to overcome. Now, the Bible tells us that we should be fearful, but that's in the sense of having fear of God, of doing the right thing, being able to stand up for the truth, fearful to venture forward in faith. But what's being talked about here in Revelation 21 is a type of fear that leads to dread and causes you to not take action. Since we're in the book of Revelation, if you'll turn to chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8. Of course, this is referred to as the faithful church, the Philadelphia. And it says in verse 7, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, and he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name." But then let's also look in verse 10 and 11. It says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." So not being afraid of keeping God's commandments, no matter what. Now that is what Christ is spelling out here. That is the purpose that he wants the Philadelphia church to continue. But this means that we have to be able to put our trust and our confidence in God. You know, through the things we have experienced, through the stories we read in the Bible, through actions that have happened in other people's lives, in our lives, that's how we can become inspired. That's how we can overcome our fears and have faith that God wants to be near us. Now, the Passover service, which we just kept, outlines for us the ability to once again be reconciled to God. And once we repent of our sins, the Bible tells us that God is faithful. He is faithful to forgive. But it requires us to overcome and work at doing our part to restore that relationship with God and with Christ on a continuing basis. Let's look at Hebrews 12 and verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12 and beginning in verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We notice that we can take stock, as it just said here, in the great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us, whose lives are written in the Bible for our sake. But we also notice that Christ went through what he went through for our sake, so that we could be reconciled to God. You know, when God tore the temple veil at the time of Christ's death, and it was a rather thick veil, very heavy, took a lot to get it in place in the temple, God tore it down, and it symbolically tore the veil that prevented his true believers from speaking directly with him in prayer. And as I was reading John 15, 16, and 17 during the Passover service evening, I was struck by how many times Christ insisted that we ask the Father for things. So we'll just skip around real quick in the book of John, John 15, and beginning in verse 7. John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Do you see the correlation there? The correlation between us asking God for things, bearing much fruit, and God being glorified. So those are the things that he wants to see happen. Also in chapter 16, in verse 12 to 15, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you in all truth. For whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will tell you things to come. It will glorify me, for it will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All these things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Then also in verses 22 through 24. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And then continuing on verse 25 to 28. These things I have spoken to you in a figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth and from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, this is the type of relationship that God wants to have with us, one in which we are willing to speak to him, to talk to him about the minor things that are going on in our lives, as well as the major things. Now, can we say that we consistently and faithfully do this? Do we just do this for the major things in our lives? Well, what about the minor and the insignificant things? Those are just as important to God. Continuing on in chapter 17, in verse 6, this is Christ praying directly to the Father, speaking to him. He says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which are given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. And in verses 20 and 23, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me, love them as you have loved me. The love that God and Christ have is manifested through their relationship. They have full trust and full confidence in each other. And that's what a relationship ultimately boils down to. Trust and confidence that we can have in another person. And this is why God wants a relationship with you and I. He wants to see what we're made of, what we boil down to. He wants to see, are we trustworthy enough to be given eternal life and the greatest power that we can imagine? If you will, turn to 2 John, verse 9. Second John in verse 9 says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So we see we cannot continue to transgress or sin against God and expect to have a relationship with him. Also, let's jump over to Isaiah 59 and verse 9. Isaiah 59 and starting in verse 9. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as it were twilight. We are dead men in desolate places. We all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, in departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Does this not describe the world that we see around us? A people looking and groping in the dark, looking for light, but they find none. And the last line there in verse 15, he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Now, how scary is that to us? If we continue to obey God, it's going to become noticed. You know, the Bible mentions that the church is small, but it has great power. That comes from us continuing to obey God. To keep our heads up and keep pressing on with our relationship with God. That has to be our top and first priority. Let's look at Isaiah 55 and verse 6 to 11. Isaiah 55, and starting in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth seed and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. Sometimes it's hard as a human being to get outside of our own heads and realize that God's thoughts are indeed far above our own. He points out how the earth works, and yet we can't even, we can come to understand it, but it works without us having to do anything. It's all in God's hands. And so if we seek God, if we seek to have a relationship with him, we'll be able to understand God's thought process and what he's trying to accomplish. Verse 11 is especially striking because it shows that God's word accomplishes what he wants. When he thinks and speaks, it happens. But I think that the most powerful thing is that we can affect this. And that is truly the most powerful thing that we have at our disposal. Let's look at Romans 8 and verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, God's Spirit is there to help us, to be able to deepen our relationship with God. But it's something that we have to ask for from God on a consistent basis. Now, if we stop asking God for his Holy Spirit, then God may withdraw it. Also, if you will, let's turn over to Psalm 33 and verse 13. Psalm 33, 13 to 15. The Lord looks from heaven, and he sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. Verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. So this scripture tells us that God sees everything from his dwelling and place in heaven. He considers everyone's works. And he's ready to send help in times of need. Nothing escapes his attention. It says he fashions our hearts individually. He knows what's in our hearts. He even knows what we will pray before we pray it, because he can read our minds. He knows the thoughts of man. He's been observing us for a long time. Let's also look at Psalm 14 and verse 2. Psalm 14 and verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven above, from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there are any who understand and who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Now, verse 3 shows us that for the most part, nobody is willing to do what God wants, except the people who God has called himself, those whose minds he has opened to the truth, to set their heart in a willing way to seek him, to have a relationship with him. And that's why we must keep our relationship with God strong. If we want to make it through this world to become in God's kingdom, our time to have a relationship with him is now. And it needs to matter. It needs to be our main focus in all things that we think, do, and say, so that we can have an even better and more lasting relationship with him in his kingdom.